If you have your Bible, open it up, please, to 1 and 2 Peter. We're going to be studying there in just a moment. And while you're turning there, thank you so much for being here in attendance. Thank you, Jared, for those kind words. I love you very much. Jared has been a great friend of mine as well and has helped me out tremendously. And I appreciate you, Jared, and Lauren, and Will for the hospitality, and for Dwayne and Terry for the excellent dinner and the opportunity to spend time yesterday with the shepherds here and their wives. It's been really great to get to know so many of you in a short amount of time. And for those who are maybe visiting for the first time or have been here in times past and have traveled to be back here, thank you so much. It's a Friday night. There's a lot of things that all of us could be doing. I appreciate the fact that you have an interest and desire in hearing what the Bible has to say, hearing what God has to say. And we're going to talk about some very important things here. And so thank you so much for your attention. I hope that you can come back tomorrow night, and I hope you can be here as well on Sunday. If not, please take some time to listen to this series of lessons that we're going to be talking about this weekend. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a blessing to be able to travel to Oregon. This is my first time here in this state. I've been to California a number of times, but have never been here before. So it's been really good being able to see this beautiful state and to spend some time with you all. And I hope and pray that you will be encouraged. And I hope that you will encourage others to come out and to listen. You guys have put together these great flyers here and these invite cards. And let's do all we can to invite our neighbors and our friends and individuals in the community so that they might be able to hear the Word of God as well. I want to take you back to when my wife and I, Nikki, and at this time it was during, we didn't have Josh, he was not yet born. We were living in Columbia, Missouri. There was a young man there at the congregation, his name was Bert. Bert had a great smile. He typically would bring someone to Bible classes or to worship services. He was at the University of Missouri at that time. We were able to put together or create a relationship, and we spent some time with him. And in the process of time, Bert, he started dating a young woman. And they got serious, and in the process of time, we were able to study the Word of God with her. And eventually, she obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They eventually would get married, and things seemed to be working out really, really well. But as time went on, things began to change. We didn't see Bert a lot during the Sunday evening worship services. He would come to the Sunday morning services, but we didn't see him that much anymore in the evening. In the process of time, we stopped seeing Bert during Wednesday night services as well. And then finally, we just didn't see Bert at all. So we reached out to him and we tried to see how we could help and what was happening and what we might be able to do to encourage him. And it was a struggle to actually connect with him. And a couple of months later, we finally were able to connect. And Bert gave us some really sad news, disturbing news. He said that he was leaving. He was not going to be worshiping where we were, and he had some reasons as to why, and him and his wife eventually went to a denominational congregation in town. Then a couple of months after that, there was a post that Bert put on his Facebook page. And on his Facebook page, he wrote out how he no longer believed in God. And he had some details and some explanations of some of the things as to why he no longer believed in God. And it was so disappointing and discouraging and hurtful seeing what happened to this young man and seeing what happened to his wife as well, a brother and sister in Christ. But that actually begs the question, what did happen to Bert? Well, I may not know all the details. He did reveal some things, but as I think more about what happened to Bert, Bert was influenced by so many of the different teachings that are out in the world. Bert was influenced by the different cultural storms that were taking place then and that continue to take place now. The false teaching of atheism, false doctrine that is often taught in different churches. And unfortunately, Bert, he followed that path of leaving Christ and no longer believing in God. I'm sharing all this with you because if I were to ask you, do you know a Bert? I see heads nodding. Many of us do. And it could be at some point in time, maybe we were actually in his position. Or maybe we actually may be in a state of where we are beginning to doubt God's word. Or with the different issues and things that are being taught today, maybe we have begun to question the existence of God. Or what the Bible says about how we worship God. Or what the Bible teaches about salvation. Or what the Bible teaches about marriage and divorce and remarriage. Or what the Bible teaches about racism or homosexuality or sexuality in general. There are so many different things and storms that can, if not careful, cause us to become tossed to and fro with respect to our faith. And we're going to be talking about this weekend. The series that we have planned for this weekend is called Navigating Cultural Storms. And this gospel series of lessons really began with a workbook. And it began with a workbook back in 2015 or 2016, I believe, when the U.S. Supreme Court made the decision that all 50 states now accept gay marriage. And after all of that happened, I wanted to do something, and so I decided to put a workbook together. And the workbook is called Navigating Cultural Storms. If you'd like a copy of it, I'd be more than happy to send you a copy of it. And in that workbook, I eventually taught it. I was at the Dowling Road Church of Christ in Southeast Texas, and we talked about homosexuality. We talked about atheism. We talked about racism in that class. And it was really beneficial. And so we're going to be talking about some of these subjects this weekend. But I will tell you, there's so many different topics that we could include when you start thinking about navigating cultural storms. Tomorrow we're going to talk about dealing with racism. Sunday we're going to talk about how Jesus is able to fix a mess. Many times we can make our lives into a great mess. And many people in the world are living a life where their lives are just messy because of sin. And yet Jesus is always going to be the solution. We'll talk about how fathers are so important for the home. Growing up, my dad was not around. And we'll talk about how dads need to be in the picture. And we'll also discuss the topic of homosexuality. And the title of that lesson is going to be called Truth Without Hate. What the Bible says about homosexuality. And so I hope and pray that you'll be able to be here in attendance for all of those sermons that we're going to be looking at and special studies that we're going to be talking about this weekend. And while there are a lot of different cultural storms that are taking place, there are so many things that, if not careful, can get in the way of our faith, our relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ, our trust in God. You think about all the things that have happened since 2020 with COVID and how so many brethren today are divided because of these and because of vaccines and racism. There's just so much that's taken place. But I want to remind all of us here this evening that there's nothing new under the sun. And that in every age, God's people have had to navigate through cultural storms. In the days of Moses, you look at Exodus chapter 2, his parents had to make a decision. Are they going to listen to what Pharaoh said? Or are they going to trust in God and save their child? You think about Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they were in a whole different world in Babylon. And yet what we find is that God's people were able to stand and to trust in Him. If they could do it, we can do it as well. And we find Christians in the first century that we read about who stood firm on God's word. And that's what we are called to do. And so our study is going to begin in 2 Peter. If you have your Bible in 2 Peter chapter 1, when you read these two letters here, Peter is writing to Christians who were scattered abroad. They are in the midst of suffering. About 15 times suffering shows up in the book of 1 Peter. What we find in 2 Peter is something that we need to remember for ourselves. What Peter is going to do in this second epistle, Peter is going to remind the saints of some things. He's going to help them to make sure that they don't forget to remember some very important truths with respect to God and their faith. As Peter instructed them in 2 Peter chapter 1 to add to their faith, beginning in verse 5, he said, "Now for this very reason also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love." Verse 8, "For these things are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." Christians were to grow, and we are to continue to grow. That's how he ends this letter in 2 Peter chapter 3. We should be adding to our faith and making sure that our eyes and that our minds are focused on where we are ultimately headed, and that is heaven. He would remind them in verse number 11, he said, "For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." Now watch what he says next. In the next few verses, he's going to remind them of some things. He's telling them that I'm writing this to remind you. I know that you're doing well right now in your faith, but I'm telling you this to stir you up, to remind you. He said in verse 12, "Therefore I will always be ready to remind you of these things." Don't forget to remember these things. I know you're doing great in your walk with Christ, but remember these things. "I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them." You see, they already knew what he was saying to them and sharing with them. And that's okay. They needed to be reminded of it again. As Christians, we need to be reminded of some things as well. We need to constantly hear God's word, especially as we try to navigate through these cultural storms. He says, "I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth, which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder." Don't forget what I'm going to share with you. Awake and stay awake and listen to what he's trying to get across. I want to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Verse 15, "And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." This would not be the only time. You look over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1, Peter said, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets in the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." So Peter's driving home this point to Christians who are seemingly doing very well. Don't forget to remember. Remember what's been delivered to you by the apostles. Remember what's been delivered to you by the prophets. He's trying to stir them up and make sure that they continued on the right path. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. Let's lay the foundation before we dive into some of these other subjects. Don't forget to remember. As you think about these cultural storms, navigating through these cultural storms, what do you think we need to hold on to? What do you think we need to remember as the people of God? Well, I want to share with you some thoughts from both 1st and 2nd Peter. All right? The first thing, though, we cannot forget to remember, as you think about navigating through cultural storms, is that we have an enemy. Do you know who he is? It's the devil. And Peter would remind the saints, look over in 1st Peter chapter 5, in 1st Peter chapter 5, in verse number 8, Peter would remind the saints about their enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, Peter would say, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." As we go through this world and live on this side of life, don't forget to remember that we have an enemy. Far too often, I think we can lose sight that the devil is the true enemy. Brothers and sisters in Christ are not to be the enemy. The devil is the true enemy. And the devil has nothing good for us at all. He is seeking to destroy our faith. I'm studying the book of Job, and you look at that conversation between Job or with God and Satan in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. What Satan told God, Job is only serving you because you have put this hedge around him. But if you take that away, he will curse you to your face. That's exactly what he wants us to do. He does not want us following God. He does not want us trusting in God. And so we have to consider and always remember the enemy. Pulling this curtain back on spiritual warfare. Being reminded that indeed we are in a spiritual battle. As you think about the cultural storms that we face, we are in a spiritual battle. And the devil, he is our adversary. He is the adversary who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, according to John chapter 8. That's what Jesus said about him. A lot of people today don't even believe in the devil. And a lot of people who claim to be Christians don't believe that the devil is actually real. And yet Peter said, be on the alert. Be aware. Just as we are so focused with so many other things in this world with respect to protecting ourselves, we need to make sure that we're also aware that there is one seeking to destroy us. He is seeking to divide the people of God. He is seeking to destroy our homes. And sadly, too often, he often succeeds. But it doesn't mean we have to be defeated. Just because there are so many different beliefs out there today, just because the majority may believe certain things, it doesn't mean that we have to be defeated. In fact, when you read verse number 9, Peter would say, but resist him, which means that it's possible to resist him. It's possible to continue to stay steadfast in our faith. I think about Jesus. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Remember Jesus. He gives us the example. He helps us to see that we indeed can resist him. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights, in verse number 3, the tempter came, Satan, devil, the devil. He came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, verse 3, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered in verse 4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The devil didn't stop. The devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now the devil is quoting scripture. But watch how Jesus responded in verse 7. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. But Jesus responded the same way. It is written. That's how we can resist him. We need to stand firm on what God has to say. You see, the devil wants to create fear, uncertainty, and doubt in our hearts. And we see this time and time again. He wants us not to trust in God and what God has to say. You go back to the book of Numbers, we won't read that, but remember in Numbers 13, God told the people, I have given you this land. They were to walk by faith, but they came back, and now instead of walking by faith, they had a spirit of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And many of them lost their lives in the wilderness. What the devil wants to do, he wants to destroy our faith. And he is very cunning. And he has so many different schemes. But we can resist him by God's strength, by standing firm on the word of God. And so as you think about navigating cultural storms, don't forget to remember who the real enemy truly is. And that is the devil. You go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter would say, be of sober spirit in verse number 8. Be on the alert. We have to be on the alert. Because if not careful, he can easily deceive us. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's how we can resist the devil. By trusting in God. Knowing that we're not alone. Many of the things that we experience, brothers and sisters around the world, around the United States, are experiencing the same things. And there are Christians who are standing fast on the Word of God. That's how we can be successful as well. That's how we can navigate these cultural storms. And it's a great way to take us to the second thought. Don't forget to remember that not only do we have an enemy, but we can resist him. Don't forget to remember that God's word is sure. We can trust what we have in the Word of God. If you go back and look at 2 Peter chapter 3, remember in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 1 and 2, Peter is going to remind the saints. He is stirring them up again. He is encouraging them again to remember what has been given to them. He's going to warn them about mockers and what these men are going to say and how they're going to try to question them or get them to question their faith in God. And he's going to remind them about the promises of God. He said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." As we navigate cultural storms, remember to turn to God's word. Remember what Jesus has said. Remember what the apostles have delivered to us. Far too often when it comes to so many of these subjects, and whether the subject is with racism or homosexuality or marriage or our families, we can sometimes forget what God has said. Or we can sometimes begin to question what God has said. But we can know, brothers and sisters, that God's word is sure, it is true, and it will continue to remain. Don't forget to remember that God's word is sure. What we have the words of the Holy Spirit. We have the words of the apostles who were guided by the Holy Spirit. We have the miracles of Jesus recorded so that we can know and believe who Jesus is. In John chapter 20, if you turn over there, the last chapter, or in John chapter 20 rather, in verses 30 and 31, after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus will remind us about what we have in this book, or John reminds us what we have in this book, and that we can truly believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God's word is sure. In John chapter 20 and verse number 30 and 31, the Bible says, "Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." We have the evidence to believe that indeed Jesus is the Christ. We have the evidence to believe that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. We can trust these words. In 1 Peter or 2 Peter, go back to 2 Peter and look at chapter 1 again. As Peter was going to stir them up by way of reminder, he's going to remind them that the apostles saw Jesus. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus. And what they had delivered to the saints was indeed trustworthy. That's why they could stand firm and stand sure on the Word of God. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1 again. In 2 Peter chapter 1, notice what he says here. He says in verse 16, he said, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales." Talking about the apostles. "We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' and we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." He's talking about what happened back in Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration of Jesus. And as you think about the Apostle Peter, he's reminding them, listen, what we have given to you is eyewitness testimony. We've been with Jesus. We've seen Jesus. We saw him alive after he died on the cross and after he rose from the grave. At the end of this, he would say in verse 20 and 21, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. What we have here are the words of the Holy Spirit. Men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Don't forget to remember that the Word of God is sure. The Word of God is trustworthy. Now, we need to remember this because there are going to be those who are going to try to cause us to get us to doubt in God and the promises of God. I think this is what he's driving home here in 2 Peter chapter 3. He would say in verse number 3, know this first of all, that in the last days, and we've been in the last days since the first century, after the resurrection of Jesus, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust. He's warning them of how people would respond and act towards them. Mockers or scoffers who are not interested in the truth, but following after their own lust. And what would they try to do? Look at verse 4, saying, where is the promise of his coming? You guys have talked about this promise of the coming. Where is the promise? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Don't forget to remember that what God says, he will do. What God says, he will do. He's talked about destroying the world back in the book of Genesis, and that's what he did with the flood. And now he says here, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. He's just saying, listen, time is no factor when it comes to God fulfilling what he said he's going to do. The word of God is sure, and we can stand firm on it. It's been delivered to us by men guided by the Holy Spirit. What God says, he will do. I love the account in Matthew chapter 28, where you turn over there, in Matthew chapter 28, when the women went to the tomb of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, and we'll start in verse number 1, or we'll kind of walk our way down in this. In Matthew chapter 28, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, it says, they came to look at the grave. And I want to read this to you because I want you to see Jesus, the Father, what they say, they do. And we can trust God's word. We can stand firm on it. It is sure and reliable. In verse 2, the Bible says, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who's been crucified. Watch what the angel said next. Verse 6, read with me. He is not here. For he has risen just as he said. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. What great confidence we should have in the words of Christ. He said, destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. What he said came to pass. So when we think about the words of Jesus, we think about the words of the Father, we can be confident that what we have indeed is the truth. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. We can know that to be true. We can know that Jesus has ascended back into heaven and that one day he will return. The Apostle Peter actually talked about this, about the end of the world when all things are going to be burned up. You go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, he's going to talk about the fact that one day, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And it doesn't matter how much time has passed. God's word is sure. That's important. Here's why. So many of the storms that we face in this world want us to leave God behind. These storms want us to forsake our faith. God's word is sure. And we need to trust what God has to say. Too many times young people, they get on YouTube and they listen to these debates and arguments, but they never go back to what the Bible has to say about the existence of God, about sin. Too many times we can look at television shows and celebrities when it comes to our relationships, but let's go back to the Bible and see what does God's word have to say. His word is sure. Don't forget to remember that. Don't forget to remember that what you have in your hands is the truth and nothing but the truth. As we navigate through cultural storms, don't forget to remember the sort of people that we ought to be. We are to be different than the world. In fact, Peter would remind the saints of that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. As Peter talked about the promises of God and the mockers that would come and talk about where are the promises of God, Peter would talk about one day the Lord is going to return. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, verse 10, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, listen to what he says. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's who we're supposed to be. We are to be holy and separated. Different. We are the people of God. Can you say amen to that? We are the people of God. And just because there are different things that are taught, and just because some people may reject the word of God, doesn't mean that we do that. We're different. But that's the challenge. Brothers and sisters, do not unpack your bags. Don't get comfortable here in this world. If we learned anything from 2020, keep your bags packed. You know what I'm talking about? Talking about the fact that this world is not our home. But do we really believe it? First Peter chapter 1. Peter reminded the saints of heaven. Brothers and sisters, that's where we're headed. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. We've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. What a great promise. What great confidence we can have. Don't forget to remember, this world is not our home. We are headed somewhere. We're headed to heaven. He would tell the saints in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13, chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in our Father. Our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is not in our health. Our hope ultimately has to be in Jesus Christ. Not in our job status, not in our finances. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. As obedient children, verse 14, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. We used to live a certain way, but we've been born again. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Don't forget to remember how we ought to live. We are to be holy. Verse 15, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address the Father as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. How much time do you have on earth? Good, I'm not the only one. I have no idea. I don't know if Jesus is going to return today. I don't know if I'm going to take my last breath tonight. But what we do know, what I know, is how we ought to live. We are to be holy and different. We're not supposed to be conformed to this world. We're supposed to be the people of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We've been called out of darkness, so we don't remain in the dark. We don't advocate and promote and teach what is dark and not true. We are the people of God. "For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers." You hear that? This world is not our home. Don't get comfortable, because things can change in an instant. We've seen this last year, and we see it again this year. But are we ever going to get the memo? This world is not our home. We are to be aliens and strangers. Watch what he says. "Abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul." We're in a battle, a spiritual battle, with our adversary, the devil. And we are to abstain from certain behaviors. We are to be different. And it doesn't matter what people may say today, what people may advocate today. We trust what God has to say. Don't forget to remember the sort of people that we ought to be. But I will tell you, that is really where the challenge is. Isn't it? Too many times, and I think for a lot of people today, people look at Christianity with the idea of being more Christian-ish. You know what I'm talking about, Christian-ish? I'll give you an example here. I think it was back in 2017 or 2018, Thanksgiving night, my wife and I, Nikki, we did something, I don't know what we were thinking. We had an excellent Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. And for some reason, we watched a documentary on Netflix about becoming like vegan. So we were convicted, even though we were eating Bluebell ice cream and key lime pie while we were watching the show about becoming vegan. And so after I watched the show, I said, you know what? I'm going to commit. I'm going to become a vegan. So then I put it on Facebook, and I said, look, I'm going to eliminate meat. You don't say that in Texas, right? You're from Texas. You don't eliminate meat. But I said, I'm going all the way. Throughout the cheddar cheese, that was tough. Throughout the Bluebell ice cream, that was tough. But I was committed. 24 hours later, I started having some second thoughts. There was some cornbread still in the refrigerator. And so I started thinking about, you know, I know there's eggs in that cornbread. And I know I said I'm going to be a vegan. But there's only like one or two eggs. I'll have a couple pieces. 36 hours later, Chipotle somehow popped into my head. I said, I would love a chicken burrito. And so I just told everyone, look, this is who I am. I'm a vegan. And so I said, okay, I'm going to change it. I'm now vegan-ish, which means if I want some Chipotle, I'll eat it, all right? Now, you guys are laughing at me. I don't know if you're laughing with me. You're probably laughing at me. Because you see the problem. What's the problem? No self-denial. No discipline. No real commitment. I'm still veganish tonight, or today. Had a nice steak. It was good. No, I'm not veganish. That's totally gone. I'll eat what I want. Christian-ish. Just like veganish will not cut it, neither will being Christian-ish. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. We cannot look at God's word and say, well, yes, I will stand on this and I will believe this, but this part here, no, I can't do that. We cannot pick and choose which part or what we will stand on and truly believe, and other parts we won't follow. Christian-ish. That doesn't work. And Peter reminds us, Be who you ought to be. Make a decision. Make a commitment. Are we following Christ or not? Because if we are, we've got to go all the way. Self-denial is part of Christianity. Suffering is part of Christianity. Peter would talk about this time and time again, about how we are to be different. We're in a battle. And we are to abstain, and we are to be disciplined in our lives, and to trust God and knowing that He will give us the strength to endure. What credit is there if when you sin and you are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. That's what Christianity is all about. We're following in the footsteps of Jesus. We're not following in the footsteps of a preacher or a pastor or a reverend or pope or YouTube celebrity or anyone else. We're following in the footsteps of Jesus. And when we do that, we can endure any storm that we may find ourselves in. I will tell you this. Don't forget to remember how you ought to be, so people in the world can see, but also for one another. Don't forget how we are to be towards one another. COVID and vaccines and masks have divided brethren. That ought not to be. Don't forget to remember what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, listen to this, fervently love one another from the heart. Are we loving one another from the heart? Don't forget to remember that we're in this together. That's what it's all about. That's how we can navigate through these cultural storms. Remember who we are. 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says, quit wasting your time on the things that you used to do. Remember who you are and who you ought to be. And verse number 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust and drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And all this they're surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. Are people surprised by our conduct and our action? Or are we just blending in like everyone else or with everyone else? Be different. I remember when I went to the University of Illinois, there was a girl, we had some people over at our apartment, and she said something I'll never forget. Cut me right to the heart. She said one night, you know, I would have never thought that you and your roommate were Christians. Why'd she say that? We're doing everything else that everyone else was doing. Getting drunk. Engaging in sexual immorality. But we're in the pew Sunday morning. So mom and her family don't say anything to us. See, people in the world can even see Christian-ish. Who are we ought to be? Holy, godly, devoted. Don't forget to remember that. Don't forget to remember God's wish. Happiness. That's all good if you want to be happy. And yes, I think we can live and be happy. And we should strive and go after things that we would like to do and the wishes that we have. But as we navigate through cultural storms, don't forget to remember God's wish. We often forget about God. What does God want from me? Well, He wants us to be holy. And you know what else He wants? He wants people of this world to be saved. Don't forget to remember, even as we go through these difficult days, in 2 Peter chapter 3. Remember in verse number 9, Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. Peter said, "The Lord is not slow about his promise," talking about those who were questioning the return of God. Where is the promise of his coming? He said, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Don't forget to remember, as we go through these difficult days, it can be very easy to lose sight that there are souls in need of salvation. There are souls who are lost in their sin. We have the solution. We have the solution, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is not slack concerning his promise, but is patient toward you. And thank God he is patient. Don't forget to remember his wish. His wish is not for any to perish, but for individuals to come to repentance. I want you to think about your conduct. I need to think about my conduct and the impact that we can have on people around us. You know, sometimes brethren may think, you know, in certain areas of the country, no one wants to hear the gospel. No one would be interested in a Bible study. That simply is not true. We need to continue to focus on what God's wish is for men to come to repentance and to be saved. And Peter talked about salvation in this book, in 1 and 2 Peter. The grace of God, how baptism now saves you. Maybe you know someone who's in need of salvation. Don't forget to remember God's wish. We're not supposed to be of the world, but we are in this world, and we have work to do. And so as we think about navigating these cultural storms, no matter where a person may be, if they're willing, they can change. The gospel still has power. We just need to have the confidence and to stand firm on his word, not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He died for all men. Don't forget to remember his wish. How we look at people is so important. They are souls, and many of them are in need of salvation. Don't forget to remember that. Maybe there's someone you can talk to tonight. Maybe there's someone in your family. Continue to pray for them. Continue to teach them God's word. Don't be ashamed of the truth. God's wish is for all men to come to repentance. And when we have these opportunities, let's make sure we capitalize on them. This gospel meeting may be a great opportunity. I'm here till Tuesday. Love to study. If you have someone, I know Jared would be as well, and other men here. Let's focus on God's wish. And let's live a life that will be pleasing to him and to help someone else. Final thought, I appreciate your attention. Don't forget to remember this, that one day judgment is coming for all. This is what Peter would say. God is not slack concerning his promise. Beloved, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. Time is no concern with God. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Judgment day is coming. And it may not happen tonight or next week or next year or a decade, but one day it will happen, which is why we cannot forget this. I will say this too. There are false teachers just like there were in the first century. You have an entire chapter in 2 Peter chapter 2 with respect to false prophets and the challenges that the people of God had faced in times past. But God's word is sure, and God is just, and we will all stand before him one day. And while it can be challenging to live in a dark world, a world where there's a lot of injustice, a world where sin is promoted like it's no big deal, a world where people mock God and Jesus Christ and those who follow him, Eventually, all men will have to give an account before God. So we live the right way. We don't take matters into our own hands. We don't return evil with evil. Peter would actually say that in 1 Peter chapter 3. There's a way that we live. God would ultimately do the judging. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he says in verse 9, to sum up in verse 8, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. We do what's right. And God will take care of the rest. Don't forget to remember that one day judgment will come. And this is why we don't get comfortable here in this world. This is why we live in the way that will be pleasing to God. This is why we stand firm on His truth. And what an amazing day that will be for those who are right with Him, where we will be with our Savior forever in heaven. Don't forget to remember. Judgment Day is coming. Let's make sure that we are ready. I appreciate your attention tonight. As we navigate these cultural storms, I hope this will be a great foundation for us to remember as we talk about some very, at times, controversial topics. But the Bible gives us the answers. When it comes to racism, when it comes to our families, when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to sexuality, we have nothing to fear. Truth never has anything to fear. Let's be bold and courageous. And let's look for opportunities to help others to come to Jesus. Let's stand firm. And maybe there's someone here who's not a Christian. We'd love to study the Word of God with you. If you are in need of salvation, please don't leave here tonight without talking to someone. And if you're in need of prayer as a brother and sister in Christ, please let us know as we stand and sing the song of invitation.